I had my children on the floor. I was on my favourite blanket that my grandmother gave me on the floor like a cat.
And I realised in that moment the potential of what our bodies can really do as women.
Like, I could feel his head. I could do my own internal, like, yeah, his head, I could feel it.
I was in tears. I was just in tears and overwhelmed with gratitude.
Hi, and welcome to the Natural Birth Podcast, the podcast that is bringing embodied birth wisdom from women from all over the world sharing their natural birth stories. Don't forget to subscribe and download so that you can always have access to these empowering and positive natural birth stories. Hi, my name is Anna, also known as the Spiritual Midwife, and I am the Natural Birth podcast host. I'm a midwife and a childbirth educator, and I assist women in optimizing their chances of having an empowering and natural birth experience and a nourishing and healing postpartum. I offer holistic birth preparation and postpartum online courses worldwide for the conscious mama wanting to prepare emotionally, mentally, physically, and spiritually for her birth and for her postpartum. And if you want to know more about me and what I do in the world, then visit me at thenaturalbirthcourse.com. If you had a natural and empowering birth experience that you would like to share with the world, then you can email me at annathespiritualmidwife@gmail.com, and maybe your story will be featured on the Natural Birth Podcast. Now let's dive into today's episode. Happy Valentine's Day to all of you, my beautiful listeners. I hope that all your days are filled with love. On this special day, though, I want to celebrate you. We've hit over 20,000 listeners. Yay! And that fills my heart with so much joy that this podcast is reaching women from all over the world and hopefully having a positive impact on her inner monologue surrounding birth and being woman. I hope that this podcast can inspire all of you to truly love being a woman and deeply trust your innate birthing wisdom. And in light of today, I'm also wanting to give you some extra loving. Pop on into thenaturalbirthcourse.com and use the coupon code EMPOWEREDBIRTH as one word, and you'll be gifted 25% off the Natural Birth course or the Nourishing Postpartum course. And if you want both of them, then you have the bundle, which is always discounted. Big, big love from me to you. Now, today on the Natural Birth podcast, we have Dion. Dion is a mama of one from Indiana, USA. She was extremely fearful of childbirth in the beginning of her pregnancy, but by going with a continuity of care midwifery program where she met the same midwives throughout her pregnancy, birth, and postpartum, as well as going to a counselor to deal with her fears, she ended up feeling calm and excited to go into labor. And after working through her fears and preparing for her birth, she ended up having an empowering, trance-like natural birth, the birth we are going to hear about today. Hello, Dion, and welcome to the Natural Birth Podcast. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm over here in a sweaty Australia, and you're over in Indiana, and I'm betting it's a bit cold there now, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, we had snow a couple of days ago, so it's coming.
Ooh, I'm not jealous. I was just walking down the beach a bit earlier. Anywho, not talking about the weather now. We're going to talk about babies and birth, and you're going to tell us about your natural birth center birth that just happened. Is it correct? 16 days ago?
Yeah, November 10th.
Oh, brilliant. I don't think we've had a mama on the podcast this soon after her birth.
Oh, really?
So, yes. And you are glowing and shining and looking quite rested for a new mom.
I had a nap today.
Brilliant. Well, with no further ado, I can't wait to hear the birth story, to also hear about, you know, how you chose this birth center and about your experience of the continuity of care model that you were in.
Yeah, it was great. So my OB recommended I go to this birth center. So she kind of pointed me in that direction. And I had told her, you know, when I first got pregnant, I came in and she confirmed it. And I told her I was really afraid of childbirth. And she said, I think you should go with these midwives. And so I started seeing them for the rest of the pregnancy. And yeah, it was wonderful. It was a group of midwives. There were four of them. And I got to meet all of them during the pregnancy. Each time I'd went in, I'd meet with someone different or, you know, see someone again and build those relationships. And they were just wonderful, wonderful women. And the one who actually was at my birth, she was the one who I had met the least. She was kind of the one who was like a hi, bye. And but yeah, I'm really glad it was her because it was a great fit for me for that day. So
beautiful. Yeah. And that must have been so good in terms of if you are really fearful of birth, mm-hmm. to actually mm-hmm. feel that, you know, the safety of those relationships that you build with your care providers and that mm-hmm. you know that one of them will be at your birth. You're not going to go into the hospital and just get anyone that's on shift. You actually know who's going to be there, and they know you, and they know your fears, and they know your history, and they know everything about you. Must yeah. really have alleviated some of that fear that you had as well. Do you agree?
Yes. Yeah. So before getting pregnant, I had heard a friend of mine, she told me her birth story, and it was hard. It was a traumatic birth for her. And it was really the first time I had heard a detailed birth story. Mm. And at the end of it, I felt like I'm afraid now and I don't know if I can do this. Mm. And I never thought that about birth before. I think I always just, I had this maybe naive view of birth that's like, oh, you're high on hormones and it's going to be great. And then I was like, wow, okay, these other things can happen. And really it wasn't even that bad. It was just, you know, she said she had gotten an epidural and she had had some tearing and I just didn't know. I didn't know anything. I didn't know you could tear. I didn't know anything like that. And so, I started having this anxiety about birth and we were going to try to start getting pregnant and, I just couldn't sleep. I couldn't eat. I was crying a lot and I ended up seeing a therapist and, I was just crying and I'm like, you know, I don't know if I can do this. And she said, you can. And that's what I needed to hear was someone to tell me you can. And I reached out to friends who I knew had unmedicated births, because that's what I'd always wanted, even in college, you know, back way years ago, I knew I always wanted to try that. Mm. And so I reached out to them and I said, I remember you told me you had a birth like this. So tell me everything.
Good.
And they told me their stories and it helped me so much to hear a story like that. And they pointed me in the right direction of books, which also helped me. And I just dove into the research and I loved it. I wasn't expecting to love it so much, but I just enjoyed reading everything I could.
Yeah. It really helps dissolve some of that fear when you understand the process and when you understand whether you're a bookworm like you and love reading, or maybe you're not, maybe you're visual and you need to watch videos or, you know, learn from a different way or go and participate in a course, you know, in live course or online or whatever. And just realize the stages of labor and realize the hormone cascades and realize it's like you're taking back your power with knowledge, because then you understand what helps and what doesn't help the process.
Yes.
And And all that empowers you and makes you feel, okay, well, I've got this because I understand now how it works and I understand how I can work with it and how can mm-hmm. I can feel empowered throughout it.
That really helped. And there was, I watched a video on YouTube that was, it showed kind of a drawing of what the baby looks like when it's coming out. You know, what does 10 centimeters dilated look like inside of your body? And I was like, oh, that's what it is. That's not too scary. Okay. I see what that's mm-hmm. going to be. Okay. You know, and it's just before then I'm like, what does that even look like? Like, I couldn't imagine it, you know? So,
yeah. Yes. And, you know, I just recently had a friend of mine who actually now is a nurse. And she said that to me. We were chatting, you know, when she had her first baby, she thought that 10 centimeters meant the opening of your vagina. And obviously your mm. vagina does stretch, but it's actually the cervix, which is much yes. higher up. And so,
yes.
yeah. And of course, like, how would you know that if you haven't taken mm-hmm. a childbirth education class or yeah. dived into the information around childbirth or mm-hmm. or talked to someone who works as a birth worker? I mean, that's not general kind of knowledge or talked about mm-hmm. really, is it?
Yeah, exactly. Mm.
Well, beautiful. So during your pregnancy, you went and got some counseling. That sounds great and good on you for doing that and facing your fears. It's so important.
Actually the month we got pregnant. So it took us 5 months and every month, you know, I would feel anticipating this and I thought, you know, you get excited and then it doesn't happen and you feel disappointed. And then I'd also feel slightly relieved. And then I'd feel like, I almost feel bad for being relieved, but then it's like, so each month, you know, but then 5 months. And then actually the month we did get pregnant, I just had this overwhelming sense of peace over me. And I was like, I wonder if it's going to be this month. And then it was, and it was just, I just felt peace. And, you know, almost like before with this whole pregnancy, before something happened, I would, you know, kind of tense up and be like, oh, what's going to happen? And then it happened and it's like, oh, it's not that bad. Like, you know, with anticipating morning sickness, I was just like, oh, is this going to be terrible? Is it going to be awful? And it happened and it wasn't. It was like, I had 2 weeks of nausea and I was like, oh, that wasn't that bad, you know? So it was like, it was kind of a trend throughout the pregnancy of like, I would expect something to be worse than it was. And then it would happen and it wasn't that bad at all. And I'm like, okay, you know, moving on to the next thing.
Mm.
Okay, and we're okay, and I feel fine, and so yeah.
Beautiful. So let's dive into your actual labor and birth story. So okay. What kind of signs told you that it's coming, labor is coming soon, I can sense something's coming, labor's approaching?
So 2 weeks before, so his due date was the 9th of November, so he was born one day after his due date. But 2 weeks before that, I had started having some Braxton Hicks, just very light. And I really didn't even know it was a contraction or I wasn't sure what was happening, but I could feel the outside of my stomach externally. I could feel a hardening and I thought, okay, maybe this is that Braxton Hicks, you know, people are talking about. And, but there was really no pain with it. And internally, sometimes I didn't feel it. Sometimes I would just feel like I had to go use the bathroom and I'm like, oh wait, no, it's just that hardening of my stomach, that Braxton Hicks maybe. And then it would pass and I'm like, okay, I'm fine. You know, it's like, didn't have to, but yeah. So then the morning, so that pretty much continued that whole 2 weeks. And on week 39, I had a midwife appointment. She checked me. I was 1 centimeter and 60% effaced, she said. And she's like, it's very soft. Everything's looking good. I was like, okay. And then on the day of his due date, you know, nothing happened. And I'm at work, you know, that day, that morning, talking to my coworkers. I'm just like, nothing's happening. And, you know, working from home, called in. So that night, I had heard on my Facebook group, I'm in like a mom's group on Facebook, and someone said, if you go for a bumpy car ride, it could start labor. And I told Martin, my husband, that, and he's like, you want to go to the golf course? And I was like, yeah. So we did, well, he did 9 holes, but we hit like every pothole. So I don't know if that actually did anything, but I did go into labor the next day. So, So yeah, that next morning, the morning of the 10th, and the day he was born, I got up at 5 a.m. to use the bathroom, and I saw a little bit of pink mucus on my pad. And I said, okay, something's changing. Something, you know, I went and Martin, he was going to wake up at 5:30 that morning anyway. So we got up together, and we actually did prayers together. So we're Orthodox Christians. And so he had a prayer for a laboring woman, and so in the prayer book. And so we did that one together. And I had a midwife appointment that morning anyway. So that appointment was at 8 a.m. and I went in and she checked me, and she says, you're 4 centimeters, 90% effaced. And she had the test strip of amniotic fluid, and she tested some of the water that came out. She's like, your waters are broken. And I just said, I said, no way. I was like, what? Are you serious? Like, I couldn't believe it, because I had no pain at all. And I said, I thought I would be dying at 4 centimeters. And she goes, no, I mean, maybe in another centimeter, you know, she's like, maybe you will later. But she's like, you can either walk down to labor and delivery right now, or you could go home for a little bit. Mm. So I said, you know, I want to go home for a little bit, because there's nothing happening. I was like, I don't want to sit around here forever. Like, who knows what's going to happen? So we went back home, and we walked around the block, and I had one contraction that I had to breathe through, and the neighbor lady stuck her head out the window and she goes, you're doing great. Just because everyone in the neighborhood knew, you know.
Oh, that's so cute.
But yeah, every time I had a contraction at home, and they were about 10 minutes apart, I would just lay my chest on the labor ball and breathe through them. And they were just so manageable. And between contractions, I felt nothing, you know? So I was listening to Bridget Taylor's birth affirmations on YouTube. I don't know if you've heard of her, but she's good. And I was coloring in a coloring book. So anyway, around noon, so we came home at like 9 a.m., right? And so around noon, my waters broke big time, like down my pants. And so I'm running to the bathroom. I'm like, Martin, I need pants. And so I said, well, let's just go to the hospital now, because I knew from listening to your podcast, you know, after your waters break like that, things pick up. And so so we were on our way to the hospital, and I just, every time a contraction came, I'd lean my head back in the car and breathe. And between contractions, I told Martin, I said, they're probably going to send me back home. I don't even think this is really labor. They're going to jail. I was in such denial. Like, I just couldn't believe this was it. And I did have a doula who I had been working with. And I called her and I let her know we're on our way. So she was going to meet us at the hospital. And so we get there, and I didn't have to go to triage because I was already past the 3 centimeters. So they just went back to the room. I got the gown on, and my doula came, and they said, because of COVID, the rules had changed and I couldn't have my doula. I could have her. She could only be there from noon to 8 PM. And if she was there, my husband would have to go. And only one person could be in the room at the time. Mm. And I felt terrible because she had driven like an hour out for this birth. We explained it to her when she got there, and she was so understanding, and she's like, you know, and of course, you know, I just wanted Martin really with me. I was going to pick one person. And so she stayed with me for an hour while Martin went out and got lunch, and she kind of talked with me, and she gave me my pep talk. And I told her, I was like, I just can't believe, you know, this is it. I don't even feel right being here right now. I think I came too early. And she's like, I think you're in active labor. Mm. And I'm like, oh man. And she's like, you know, you're stronger than you think you are. And yeah. I was just like, I guess so. I mean, this is just, it was just different than I had imagined it being, I guess. Mm. And
this is the thing too, is that all women are so different. Like, I've cared for women in labor who does not even feel her contractions.
Wow.
Who only felt when she got the bearing down pushing contractions, wow. maybe around 20 minutes of what she would call pain. Otherwise, she didn't even feel them. She didn't even feel them. So that's obviously a few percentage of women, and you're somewhere in between. But so everyone, you know, and it's not about having a high or low threshold for pain. Yeah. It's just nature is different. Your womb is different. Nerve endings are different in different bodies. And that this can actually be your reality, whether you know, think about, or you could be the other person who feels the first contraction as, you know, as very strong. So yeah, we're all so different. What a blessing that you had this experience.
Yeah. You know, I'm so thankful I was able to go into labor naturally too. That was something I really, really wanted. I was hoping for that. And so I'm so thankful that happened. And so anyway, you know, my doula had left and Martin came back in the room. And at that point, I was about 5 centimeters and I was starting to vocalize through contractions, and I'd lay my chest on the labor ball, and I felt a little silly doing it at first, but I knew that was something that, you know, and I was reading about coping techniques, and I'm like, I think that's something that'll work for me. And so I was doing this kind of like, ow, ow, you know, through each one. And yeah, so that was working out really well. And I just kind of kept doing that. And we had prepared the room. It was kind of funny. We had these battery powered candles. We had aromatherapy. We had icons up of, you know, Christ and the Mother of God and all these things that would make this room so peaceful. And I closed my eyes the whole labor. I opened my eyes maybe once or twice and I saw those things, but my husband Martin said that those things helped him relax. The calming music helped him. And he said it also made it a nice space for the nurses. Mm. So I was, you know, and what was interesting was right when my doula left and the door closed, I remember the door closed behind her and I went into this trance. It was like, and I think, you know, I had read about some people calling it like labor land or stuff like that, but I went into a trance and I was nodding off almost asleep between contractions. And I'd heard of people nodding off, you know, during pushing maybe, but not at 5 centimeters, you know, it was just right then everything changed and I was in the zone and my eyes were closed and I just ow, ow through contraction. And then between I was almost asleep and it was a very deep rest. It was just amazing how deep that rest could be. And so anyway, the midwife came in and said hi. And she said, do you want to get in the tub? Because I had requested a room with a tub. And I said, well, I don't want to get in too early. And she's like, well, why don't you get in? And if things slow down, you can get out.
Yeah.
So I got in and I think I had way too high of expectations for this tub because I had heard of women talking about the tub and, oh, you got to get the tub and it takes away all your pain and all this stuff. And no, it didn't work out for me like that. It was like the surface of the tub, you know, it was too hard. It was a hard tub and it was hot. The water was hot and I was hot during contractions and that just didn't work out really for me. And I got in and I asked them to cool it down a bit with cold water and I tried to get into different positions in the tub and I asked the nurse, like, is there anything I can do to make this better? And she said, well, try hands and knees. And it just didn't work. So I just got out and I just got back on the ball. And then I got on the ball on the bed. So my chest was on the ball and I was like kneeling and I was on top of the bed. And that was the most comfortable for me, that position.
Sounds great. And this is so like, you know, I love this because this is the thing. You can have an idea. And I've had so many women have this idea that they want to have the bath. They want to have the hot water because they maybe they're water babies or they love the ocean or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then they get in and they're just like, they're like a cat. They put the toe in and go like, meh! And they just get out and go, no, it's not for me. I don't want to. And, you know, and for some, it's the opposite. And usually, especially, I guess, and also why we kind of say to wait with the bath is because when you really are in that cranking labor a bit later on, then it does give you that potential, like, really good pain relief. But if you get into early, you don't really get that big sensation of the shift from maybe being in really intense labor and then going into bath and just feeling that buoyancy and the warmth and the relief. So maybe you did get in a bit early.
Who knows? Yeah. I wonder if it was a tub that was like, I've seen these inflatable ones. Maybe that could have been better if it was like a softer surface, but who knows?
Who knows? But it sounds like you found a great spot there on the bed on all fours, leaning over the Pilates ball. I love that.
Do you want a natural birth, Mama? Then the natural birth course might be for you. Do you see birth as a rite of passage and an important and transformational event that you'd like to feel fully empowered in meeting? Are you, like many other women, realizing that it is time to take back your power as a birthing woman in the birth space and birth your baby your way? Would you like to feel calm and confident as you birth your baby with all the tools you need in order to meet the labor sensations naturally and be ready body, mind, and soul? Do you deeply down know that your body was made to birth your baby and that you have all the inherent power and inner wisdom to do so? Are you looking for holistic midwifery wisdom and guidance to assist you and give you all the evidence-based information you need in order to feel fully sovereign in your decision-making around your pregnancy and upcoming birth? Then the Natural Birth Course is for you. Find out more at thenaturalbirthcourse.com.
Yeah, so then I think at that point I was entering into transition. And it was weird because, you know, the nurses came in, they said, we'll come in every half an hour. And they would leave and they'd come back. And it, to me, it felt like a minute. I was like, I don't know how that has been half an hour. But so it got harder, you know, during transition. And I remember I opened my eyes and I said, Martin, I think I need it, you know, the epidural. And he's, you know, he's so sweet. And he said, you know, okay, baby, anything you need, we can do it. And I almost was thinking in my head, like, no, you're supposed to tell me, no, I don't need it. Like, and I knew I didn't need it. It just, I just, you know, for a second I thought maybe I do. And, but then another contraction came and I was back in the zone and I was just, ow, ow. And then falling asleep again. And at the end of one contraction, I kind of grunted a little and I think I pushed a little. And the midwife was like, did you just push? And I was like, I think so. And she's like, let me check you. And she's like, you're 9.5. On the next one, just push. And I was like, okay, no turning back now. Like, just keep going. And I knew, it's like I knew what I wanted from all the books I had read. I knew I wanted to lay on my side when I was pushing. And the bed was kind of reclined and I was laying on my left side and I was holding on to the rails of the bed and they put a peanut ball between my legs and I pushed and I remember thinking like, this is going to be hard. You know, this is probably the hardest part for me was pushing. And I could just feel, you know, that stretching starting and I knew I needed to go slow and give myself time to stretch. Yeah. So I pushed on my left and then I turned onto my right. My legs were cramping a little and, I went on my right and I pushed a little and they said, do you want to feel the baby's head? And I did. And so I reached down and I just couldn't believe it. It was like soft and squishy, almost like a jellyfish. I couldn't believe it. And I said, no way. And that gave me like so much motivation to just keep going. And I tried hands and knees and, my head and arms were kind of up at the top of the bed and I was leaning on that. And then between contractions, you know, again, nodding off and I was like sliding down, just almost totally asleep. And, you know, during that contraction, the contraction was very light during pushing. And the urge to bear down was there, but it wasn't as strong as I thought it would be. I really had to get in there and like go for it. Mm-hmm. And I did say at one point, you know, I'm in pain. And it was that stinging feeling. It wasn't like a ring of fire that I've heard of. It was just probably right in the perineum area, like right, you know, and I did have a second degree tear, and I wouldn't have known I tore if they didn't tell me, but I did feel that stinging. And so I'm guessing that's probably what was happening. And so anyway, after hands and knees, I said, well, let me try the birth stool. And I got back on my left side to go through the next contraction. And my midwife said, nope, you're having your baby right now. And the nurses were there cheering everyone, you know, gently and kindly. They were just like, come on, mama, go, 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 and push, push, push. And he came out, and I could not believe it. They put him on me, and I was in shock because he was so big. He was 8 pounds, 12 ounces. And he looked big too. And I just felt like I did not open up that much. No way to get him out, but I did apparently.
Yeah.
They put him on me, and Martin said, it's a boy. We had waited to find out the gender, you know, up until that moment. And he peed on me right away. And I said, it's okay. I'm glad it's working. And
check that one off.
I know. Yeah, so just amazing. And I was just saying, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I just was like, whoa. And yeah, there he was. And I was just, I looked at my midwife and I said, it wasn't that bad. it really wasn't that bad, you know? And I was just so relieved it was done. And really it wasn't. And, you know, the placenta came out shortly after. She said I pushed for about 30 minutes, and the placenta came out really quick after. That was just one big push. And I looked up in the ceiling. There was a light above me, but it was off, so I could see my reflection in the glass, and I saw it come out, the placenta. I was like, wow, that was cool. And she put it in a bowl, and she gave me some numbing shots, and she stitched me up, and the nurse just said, you know, just look at your baby. And I didn't feel any pain. And I look back on my labor, and what I remember most about it is the rest I got between the contractions. It was just, I assume that's what a deep hypnosis would feel like. And I'd looked into hypnobirthing a little bit, but I didn't get into it. Just wasn't for me, but I think I just kind of naturally did it anyway, I guess. And
well, that's the thing. That's how the hormones work. When you really work with your body and you really relax and you really trust birth, and don't let fear get into your mind, don't let fear get in the way, then the hormones can do amazing things to alter your state of mind and really bring you into that primal brain. And it sounds like that's where you went. You just went into this altered state of mind, you know, in one way, like God consciousness, or like, you know, really connected, right? You're really open, bringing your baby through.
Yeah. And one thing too is during labor, that whole time, I never felt like I'm going to die, or I never felt like something's wrong. It, even though it was challenging, it felt right. And that helped me not to be afraid, because I knew what was happening. It was right. It was good. Mm-hmm. It was challenging, but it was the right thing to be happening. It was like, if something had felt wrong, maybe I would have felt afraid or something, but
And also that you mentioned, you know, the rest you got in between each contraction, and that you realized that in between each contraction, there was no pain. And this is the thing. And this is what most women, when you haven't had a baby, you don't really understand. Like, so you're having a contraction, like, but labor, aren't you just in pain the whole, you know, 10 hours or 12 hours or whatever, how long, you know, people are in labor, but you're not, you have rest in between. And in the beginning, obviously that rest is much longer. And then in the end, it's only maybe a minute, but it's a minute that you can really, like you did, doze off, relax, catch a breath, you totally just be in no pain and no bad sensation.
Yeah. And I remember when they got intense, I told myself like, okay, wait to vocalize. And so I would take two breaths when it would start like, okay. And then it was like, ow, ow. And then my midwife said, breathe through your nose and out your mouth. And I would do that during the contraction, and that rush of oxygen, I could feel it come down into my uterus, and it did relieve pain.
Mm.
And then, you know, I'd kind of whisper at the end of the contraction, just like, ow, 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 ow. And then it would be done. And I would take that deep rest. And yeah, you know, you're not aware of time. So it was like, even though that rest, like you say, could have been a minute, I mean, it felt longer to me because it was just, you know, I was asleep basically, you know, and
Isn't that fascinating how like our conception of time is so warped, like, and it really shows you that in labor, how it's all a mind game. Like, what is time? Does time even exist? You know, you said you mean every half hour, but to you it's like a minute, and then you have a minute's rest in between contractions, and you're like, oh, it's like an ocean of eternity where I can rest. Like, it's a total time being in labor.
Yeah. I mean, when it was done and they wheeled me back to the room, actually, so I'll finish the story. We had 2 hours of skin to skin and that was great. And the lactation consultant showed me how to get him into position to feed. And I said, well, am I even producing anything? And she's like, well, can I show you on your other side? You know, can I express on this side and I'll show you. And she did. And colostrum came out and I'm like, wow, you know, there it is. And like, so he latched on and he ate, and it was just so cool. And Martin cut the cord, and I got to feel the cord pulsing before, you know, before he cut it, and that was cool. And so when it was done pulsing, they let him cut it, and then they had helped me get up to use the bathroom, and I looked in the mirror when I got in the bathroom, and I was just like, whoa, because I was already so much smaller, but. I couldn't pee, so they had to catheterize me right there just to help me. And that was fine. That didn't hurt or anything. And so then we got the wheelchair and, they rolled me. I was holding the baby. They rolled us back and I felt like I could have walked. But they said wheelchair, please. So, we got back in the room and, it was just great. It was like, you know, and at the end of it, I was asking Martin, like, tell me what happened, because I didn't know. I didn't know specifics. I wanted the details. I'm like, tell me what happened. How long was I here? How long was I there? But then what happened? Mm-hmm. And he was in the zone too. He's like, I don't really know either. So, you know, it's like they say, it's a day you'll never forget. And I won't forget it, but I don't remember specific things either. So it's interesting.
Yeah. You're not really supposed to be in your neocortex. You're not really supposed to be, you know, thinking. So it makes sense. And maybe as well, as time goes by, you will remember things as well. Mm-hmm. But one thing that I always tell mamas is that already now, write your birth story out as much as you can.
Yeah. I'm glad I did. Yeah. It's important. Yeah. I typed out like 7 pages and I was trying to remember like every little detail. But you know, too, actually, one thing with the doula, and I'm sorry she couldn't have been there, but at the same time, the nurses and midwives, they left me alone. They let me do my own thing, and I'm thankful for that. And really, I mean, the doula might have just been sitting on the couch the whole time, maybe, because I was so focused, and I'm really glad no one was distracting me either, you know. And Martin, you know, my husband, he was there. He was rubbing my back, you know, when I needed it. And sometimes he would apply counter pressure and I would push his hands off because it wasn't helping at that time. But you know, he was there, and it was funny. There was one moment in the tub where I was laboring in the tub, and I thought I should open my eyes and look at him and tell him, you know, make sure he knows I'm okay. And he said that was like the scariest look I ever gave him, because I like peeled my eyes open and I was like, I asked him, are you okay? And he's like, I'm fine. Don't worry about me. But, Yeah, you know, I'm so thankful for how it all happened. And I'm thankful to tell, you know, a lot of my friends who haven't had kids, they're like, how was it? And I'm like, you know, it was a really good experience. And it was good because, you know, in birth, there are things you can and you can't control. Yeah. So I know my baby was in a good position. And, you know, my midwife said I tore because his shoulders were turned at a certain angle. And if he had been turned a different way, I wouldn't have torn. But I didn't even really feel that. And, you know, there's the things you can control and can't. And you can control your preparation and your mindset. But you can't control, you know, like if you go into labor naturally or not, and all these other things, these things that are out of your control. And I'm just, yeah. So the books that I read that really helped me, and I did read a lot of books, but the ones that I would say helped me the most, Ina May Gaskin, her Guide to Childbirth and Spiritual Midwifery, and reading those stories, like, oh my goodness, I just loved it. I want to go to the farm. I want to see it, but that was like all those experiences described in the book. I remember reading and just being like, yeah, like that's what I want. Like that's the kind of experience I want to have. And then another book, Birthing From Within, that one really helped kind of go through those deep emotional things that are holding you up. And I know reading that book, one thing for me was I was afraid of losing my dignity. I was afraid of going crazy and like screaming and yelling and am I going to be this wild person? And she talks about in that book, some women feel afraid to lose it and they'll get the epidural just so that they don't lose it. Mm. And why are we afraid to lose it? You know, it's your labor. You can lose it if you want to, you know, it's okay. And that helped me too, to be like, okay, that is okay. And then when I think back, you know, maybe someone watching my labor would have seen it differently than I did, of course. And they might have seen a woman, you know, we came in at noon, right? And he was born at 6:15 p.m. So they would have seen a woman maybe howling like a dog in the wild for 6 hours of labor, just that, ow, 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 kind of like that. But to me, I needed that vocalization really helped. It really helped like slow down my breath, give me something to focus on. And, yeah, it was so good. The experience, like, I just want to like tell so many people about it because it was so good. And I think Hollywood and the internet love to tell you something scary, right? And it's so not that. And I just, I wish the positive was more, you know, like your podcast, like so good that you share these stories. And I just, I wish people focused on that more.
Yes, I agree. And I really want to come back to what you just shared about the whole thing about fear of losing control. I mean, this is one of the things we've been so, you know, muscled as women, and we've been really conditioned, you know, that it's so bad. Our emotions are bad. Our expression, we're drama queens, you know, and something negative to show emotion or to be as a woman, to be loud. And birth can be such a reclamation of our voice as woman, you know, whether or not you do sound, but even so, like just birthing your baby, it's can be such an empowering event. And to voice, whether that is a gentle one or a roaring one or a howling one or a, you know, and even, you know, sometimes you need to say, I had a woman, and I've said this before on this podcast, who for like the, you know, for an hour kept on telling me, and I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do this. And she just had to say that to me. And I was like, you're doing it. She's like, no, you don't understand, I can't do this. And, you know, I've had other mamas write to me and say, you know, oh, you know, I also said, oh, I need an epidural, I want this and that. But they just needed to voice it. They just needed to voice. They were in transition. They needed to say, I can't do this, I can't, help me. Or they need to say, you know, I want drugs or want epidural. But really, they did not because they wanted that. They just needed to know there was an option. They needed to voice it.
I knew, like, if I did get the epidural, I would lose that experience. And I didn't want to miss it. the deep rest I was getting and the ability to move and even feeling the contraction. It was like, it was part of the experience. And I knew having that epidural, that gives you, you know, the pain relief, and it gives you a sharpness, a clarity of mind. And I would have been taken out of my trance. And, and I think, you know, before birth, I thought, you know, natural birth is the only, it's the best way. It's the only way you should go. And then after birth, I thought, no, holding your baby is the best, whether you adopt or you have a C-section or you have an epidural or you have a natural birth, holding your baby is the best. And you just need to know the difference of the experience you'll have and the difference of the recovery you'll have. So the experience, I could see, you know, with an epidural, if you're someone who doesn't feel comfortable to let go, to vocalize, to let that experience lead you to happen to you, it could be a really great tool. It can, it, you know, you could get it and it, and it's still okay. It's just, you're going to have a different experience. And the, with the recovery, I mean, I was up walking around. I was sitting in every position on the bed that next day, feeding my baby. And I thought, wow, you know, with a C-section, this would be really different. This, I would be in a different spot. And
definitely. Yeah, it's a much bigger recovery after a C-section. Much harder, much more painful and longer, and it affects you in so many ways in life. You know, the ability to drive, the ability to care for yourself and your baby. Yeah, so definitely, it's not an easy choice. If it is a choice,
if it is a choice,
need to weigh all those things in.
Yeah.
Beautiful. What a lovely that story. So I know you've already kind of mentioned a few things, but if you had a first-time mama in front of you right now, he's about to have her first baby, and she really wants to have a natural and empowering birth experience, what advice or pearls of wisdom would you give to her?
Yeah, I just would tell her you can do it, and to wash your mind with the good, you know, wash your mind with positivity, with good things, read the good books, listen to the good stories, and wash away all that negative, and yeah, it'll be good. And I would say too, there's some things I wanted to mention, things I wish I had done maybe or learned before. One thing is I wish I had studied breastfeeding a little bit more. So I did not know that when your milk comes in, it can be quite painful. And I had engorgement and I felt a lot of pain, and I thought something was wrong because it was so uncomfortable. So it was like the third day after the birth, when that colostrum cycle was done and the milk came in, it was at nighttime, and my breasts were just like filled with rocks, it felt. And it was so painful. I was crying, and and I thought something was wrong. I was like, is this cancer? Like, what's going on? Cause it was just, yeah. And so my husband was researching online, like, what do we do? What do we do? And so, yeah. The trick for that one is feeding the baby often, and then you can pump until you're soft, and you can also ice. And then that should, and then after, yeah. So for me, it was like maybe 3 days of 2 to 3 days of that pain. And then it did go away. And now I'm pretty normal. Just feeding on demand is fine for me now, but yeah, that was intense. And another thing too, is all the people say like sleep when baby sleeps, and that's a great idea. And I was very prepared to do that, but I was on such an adrenaline high. I physically could not sleep. For the first 5 days after he was born, I slept 2 hours each night, and I would just lay there and I would try to sleep. And I'm crying cause I can't sleep. And, eventually I reached out to my midwife. I said, can I take something please? Because it's getting bad now. And she said, yeah, you know, you can. And so I asked if Benadryl was okay. So I took a Benadryl and I did sleep, and that kind of kicked my body back into a sleep cycle. And then I haven't needed to take anything since, but, I was still able to get up and feed him every 3 hours. But yeah, it was, that was one thing where I was like, oh, okay. I could not sleep. Like, I wasn't expecting that for that long, that many days of just that high. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's such a great birth experience. You were just riding that high for a long time.
I was, you know, and I was thinking of the birth and I'm just like, wow, that was so good. It was so good.
I mean, that's a positive thing, even though it's probably not that good not to sleep, but that's a beautiful, you know, reason to why you couldn't sleep.
Yeah, you know, it's like I see why people have 10 kids now. Not that I probably won't, but it's like, oh yeah, I could see why people do that. Like, it's just a good feeling holding that baby.
Yeah, I understand that. So I want to spiral back to what you said about breastfeeding, because that is really true. And another thing you can do if you do get engorgement, which is when your milk comes in, you know, some people just bounce into Pamela Anderson, you know, boobies, and is cabbage leaves. Even putting cold cabbage leaves on, they're really magical. They really draw that heat or that engorgement. And if you're feeling like they're a bit warm and that's a great thing to reduce swelling and release some of that as well. I have some other tips around that in my the Nourishing Postpartum course, where I have a whole module on breastfeeding, this is a thing that a lot of mamas don't think about. You know, just those things about how to heal from birth and how to breastfeed.
And it's so much. It's so much time. I'm like, oh, okay, this is like a lot of time is devoted to breastfeeding, which is great. But I just was like, oh, wow, like this is a huge part of it. And I just like spent 9 months researching the birth, like nothing else.
Yeah, which is so normal. It's so normal to do that. And I knew that's great that you did, because, you know, a lot of women don't. So that's a great thing. But yeah, I would definitely add to also prepare for your postpartum, both for you and your healing, and also maybe learn a little bit about baby care if you've never cared for a newborn baby, you know, those simple things like even, you know, nappy changing and bathing of a baby that's newborn, and, you know, holding, settling techniques, all of these things that can be very overwhelming, or a crying baby, what to do. Yeah.
He's quick with those diaper changes. Mm. He's already gotten me quite a few times. And bath time too. I was like, oh my gosh. Fast, here we are taking this bath, trying to get clean, and we are immediately dirty again.
Oh, you gotta love them, little pooping machines.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast and sharing your birthing wisdom. It's been a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you. Thank you for all the work you do. This podcast helped me so much leading up to the birth. I was just tuned in and I was enjoying listening to all the different stories, all the different things that can happen. I learned something with each story, just like, okay, that's a thing. Okay, cool. Like, good to know. Log that away.
Yeah, I love that. I love, you know, how there is that. Everyone has a different story, even though everyone's birthing, you know, through the vagina, you think, you know, it's going to be the same, but it's not. Every story is different. Yeah. It's so fascinating. And there's always pearls of wisdom to be shared.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. If you love this podcast, then please share it. Grade it on iTunes and leave a comment. If you want to connect on social media, you can find me on Facebook as The Spiritual Midwife or on Instagram as the_spiritual_midwife. Thank you for listening.